This has been Tommy John with the WGMD Sports, the Jared Moore Show after this.
All right. Welcome to the program. This is WGMD. I got to be honest with you here. I've had a headache since Saturday at about, what, 2 o'clock? No, about 4 o'clock. Let me hold on. Let me do this for a second. I got to try this. Hello. How's that sound?
It's good.
Sound a little bit better?
Yeah.
Hello, check. I've got a new toy in here. Let me just, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Well, that sounds much better. Let me start the program here a little bit, and then we'll play around with that. But I also want to tell you about a couple of, wow, that just, I like it. I want to tell you about a couple of things, including but not limited to why you shouldn't necessarily wear a Steelers jacket out the day they knocked the Ravens out of the playoffs. I'll tell you about that. We'll talk a little bit about the games that, over the weekend and what to look forward to, because I got to tell you, I haven't gloated or talked too much about the Steelers this series, but we're going to talk a little bit about it coming up, including what happened with Green Bay, Chicago, blowout there. We'll talk all about that coming up. This is WGMD. Let's start the program, though. I need a little music from my friend, Radio's Steve Bryant. Hit it, Steve.
Want to have more fun than Festivus? Do you want to have a lot more fun than Festivus? Jared Morris, talk radio for the rest of us. Jared Morris, WGMD. It's Jared Morris, WGMD. Likes his job so much, you know he'd do it for free.
Well, he kind of does.
You're listening to Jared Morris. Call Jared now at 945-9292. Toll free in Maryland. 1-800-518-9292. Or free on the Verizon Wireless Network. #927 on your cell phones.
Welcome to the program, 945-9292, telephone number toll free, 1-800-518-9292, #927. That is a free call on the Verizon Wireless Network. Now, that clips it too much. It's a little clipped. But it's a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit clipped. A little bit. Hello. There's no resonance there, right?
No.
It's like clipped. It's just. hang on. I'm sorry to be stretched. That's a little bit less. I can clip it all the way. That, but we don't want to do that. That opens it up more. That's a little bit better. And that, hello, that, now, that appears to clip it a little bit also. It seems to be, you can tell that it's a little clipped?
Yeah.
A little clipped? You don't have one on your mic. there we go. I think that's okay. I don't know. It seems okay to me. My mic level's got to be way lower, though. I'll tell you that much right now. It's got to be way, way lower. All right. Welcome to the program. 945-9292 is the telephone number. Toll free. 1-800-518-9292. #927. That's a free call on the Verizon Wireless Network. Thanks to Atlantic Cellular, your authorized retailer for Verizon Wireless. Good morning. You're on the radio. 914. Hello.
Hey, Jared. It's Andrew.
Hey, Andrew. What's going on, man?
Ready to talk football today.
Well, let me tell you what. Before we go into any statistics or scores or what happened.
I'm surprised you called in.
You know what? That's a good point. It's not just a bad night for or a bad weekend for Ravens fans. Also for New England fans. I think maybe not the greatest Monday morning ever. We'll talk about that coming up. Let me tell you what happened, though, before I do that, okay? Well, you know what? Let me preface it by saying this. I think that I've been very good at not gloating about, or not bragging about Pittsburgh, not saying, not trash talking. I think I've been very good about that the entire season. I've been nervous the entire season, even on Saturday. I'm going out and I'm buying some supplies for the game, beer, pizza, chips. Supplies for the game. You know,
beer,
a little bit of juice for the gin. You know, I mean, so I'm buying some. People everywhere I'm going. Because I, you know, have advertised now that I'm a from Pittsburgh with the Steelers jacket and all, right? People everywhere I go, they're saying to me, you know, hey, so what's going to happen? You excited? And I said, no, I'm not excited. I'm not excited. And up until maybe an hour before the game, I was not excited. I got a little excited an hour before the game because the Pittsburgh radio station, they're playing 2 hours of Pittsburgh fight songs, of Steelers fight songs, and that just got a little exciting. Hearing that stuff for a couple hours got me pumped up a little bit. But otherwise, no, I wasn't excited. And watching the game, I wasn't excited either. I was terrified and horrified watching the game. What I do is I follow the forums, the Steelers forums online when I'm watching the game so I can hear what other people are saying. And, oh, my God, we were all just – somebody online put it perfect. They said during the first half – or the first quarter, they were up, they were screaming, they were yelling at the TV, they lost their voice. During the second quarter, they just sat quietly. During the third quarter, a little bit more excited, but refusing to, you know, it felt like they were going to vomit. And in the fourth quarter, back to yelling again. And that's kind of what the experience was for me. But again, I wasn't gloating about it. I wasn't, oh, we were going to be so awesome and dominant. I didn't think that's what was going to happen. Anyway, my whole point is, I'm a personality here on Delmarva, yes. And I have every right to flame and talk about how great they are, and I didn't do that. I'm not going to do that, okay? But yesterday, I have a little bit of a ritual, okay? About once or twice a month, I go out to Hardee's to get breakfast. Holly and I, we go out to and we get breakfast at Hardee's maybe once or twice a month on a Sunday morning. Because she works on Sunday, I usually have to go upstate for band stuff, and we don't get to see each other too much, so that's our time together on Sunday morning. Not even thinking about that there might be people who are upset. Let me just say this. I don't play for the Steelers, okay? I'm not a quarterback. I'm not a halfback. I'm not even a tight end. I'm not even part of the defensive line, okay? I'm not even in the press box, all right? So there's no reason to treat me like that when I go out in public, okay? Just because I happen to have a Steelers jacket, just because I want to keep warm, okay? Yes, there's a little bit of pride being from Pittsburgh that I'm wearing that jacket. But for real, Delmarva, let me just say this. You guys don't even live in Baltimore. Chill out for a second, okay? Unless you're all really from Baltimore, you have no right to say that kind of stuff to a person. And they're just trying to enjoy a nice Sunday morning after church breakfast with their girlfriend. You have no right. Wait, let me just ask you this. Why weren't you in church anyway? You know? You need to go to church with a potty mouth like that. I swear to you, it got to the point, Tom, where I went home. I was going to go out and continue to do some shopping. Nope, going home. I'm not dealing with it. I wasn't going to change my jacket, though, that's for sure. But I swear that happened. I go to Hardee's, right? And I'm tired. I just woke up like 10 minutes before they close at 11 o'clock. You know, and I'm so tired. And so I walk in there, and two fat girls. Can I say that, fat girls, on the radio? Because you know who you are if you're go back to Pittsburgh, they say to me, right?
Are you serious?
I swear to you. But they say it quiet, like they thought I wouldn't hear it. But I've got supersonic hearing, so I'm going to hear it. Just go back to Pittsburgh. Right? And I said, go back to Nutrisystem.
You know, you're probably the only... Oh, okay, I don't know how I should say this. You're probably the only sensible Steeler fan.
Maybe. Because honestly,
I have a few friends that are Steeler fans.
Yeah.
That brag horribly, like I'm talking about, like.
Are they from Pittsburgh?
No.
That's why, because they're just hangers-on and they're idiots. I mean, not that everybody who's a Steelers fan who's not from Pittsburgh is, but people like that, they're hangers-on, man. Like, if you're not from the Berg, okay, then you have no right to really gloat about Pittsburgh being good. It's the same thing that I feel about people from like Delmarva, from Rehoboth, who root for the Ravens. You're not from Baltimore, okay? If you're from there, you have every right to be a Baltimore fan. And for the most part, Baltimore fans, I've not run into any problems. I ran into an angry Cowboys fan. I ran into an angry Eagles fan. Dude, we're not even in the same conference. Chill out. I had nothing to do, first of all, with any of the wins Pittsburgh had. Nothing. Secondly, Pittsburgh had nothing to do with anything with the Cowboys or the Eagles. I like the Eagles just fine. I like, I don't like the Cowboys, but I like the Eagles just fine. And the Ravens game, if everybody on the field could not kill each other, I think, so I'm sitting there having breakfast. And there's a nice table of old little ladies sitting, and I hear them talking. Pittsburgh, Ravens, Pittsburgh, touchdowns, fumbles, Ravens, Green Bay. Now, Green Bay was kind of weird. That was a weird thing to add in there. And so I'm like, really? And then another guy comes in, Hardee's. He points at me. He says, hey, Steelers. I'm like, oh, no. What? Really? He's like, good game. I said, thanks, man. Thank you. He said, I bet you're happy. And I told him what I told everybody. I'm not happy. I'm relieved. Okay? And then it gets worse as I'm leaving, right? I'm in the rental truck. And so... it's a wide berth for the doors. Yeah, you gotta. So I had the door open wide. And I was putting some stuff in the car, and then a big pickup truck comes by. So I have to close the door, and I didn't get inside the truck. I stood outside. The pickup truck comes by, really slowly, staring at me, circles around. I jump in the truck real quick. You know, I cut him off. I jump in the truck, start the engine. I knock over my can of Mountain Dew that I have sitting on my dashboard in the rental truck. So I got to pay for that to get away from this guy, right? And I start the engine, and before I can get out, he jumps out of his truck, knocks on the window. Oh, God, really? You're going to knock on the window? And so, I mean, this guy, I didn't know him, okay? But he's driving a big truck with a giant watermelon box full of wood in the backseat, and it's an old beat-up truck, and big, very big guy. Looks like he spent some time outdoors, you know, just big guy.
Big Raven sticker on the back.
I was looking. And, you know, I rolled down the window because I'm stupid, right? I didn't just leave. I rolled down the window, and he says, hey! I'm like, what? He's like, good game last night, man. I said, okay, thank you. He's like, I don't care who won, as long as it wasn't those damn Ravens. I said, okay, thank you. Goodbye. I'm going home.
Must have been an Eagle fan.
Then I left. I'll tell you one thing. I am happy about the Steelers winning. I don't think we have anything to brag about by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think that, I don't think it was a beautiful performance.
Yeah, we have a guy at work that's a Steeler fan, and he just, that's all he was, that after they won, that's all he was saying, oh, we're going for number seven, we're going for number seven, you know, that's.
Well, we are going for number seven, he's
black
right.
Black and yellow.
Like, yeah, well, we are, I mean, we are, he's absolutely right, we are indeed going for number seven. Let me take a quick call, 945-9292, hi, you're on the radio, good morning, hello.
Good morning, Jared.
Hey.
You said something in your little
diatribe
there, the Mountain Dew. That explains everything to me.
It does?
That's why you're so wound up, all that Mountain Dew.
Well, of course.
I'm from Baltimore.
Yeah.
I'm a Ravens fan, but I have to give it to Ben Roethlisberger and the team. They beat us the last time, and it was due to Ben. He had a bum foot and a broken nose, and
right.
He still beat us.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
In this game, we jumped out ahead, and he brought his team back like a true leader of a team, which is what we do not have. People may say things about the Steelers, but if you ask them, they'd like to have Hines Ward on their team. They'd like to have Roethlisberger on their team.
Yeah.
So I'm a true fan of the game of football. I love watching comebacks.
Right.
I love the underdog Jets beating New England yesterday. It's just the game itself and watching it and watching people lead their team.
Well, I tell you, I mean, look.
I congratulate your team.
Look, a lot of people in Pittsburgh feel the same way about the Ravens. You know, we would love to have Ray Rice on our team, for example. You know what I mean? Who wouldn't want to have a guy like that on the team? We'd love to have T.J. Houshmandzadeh on our team.
I wouldn't.
No, we wouldn't really. I just like saying his name.
Not the way he missed the balls yesterday.
I just like saying his name. Houshmandzadeh. It's a fun name to say. 945, thank you for the call, my friend. I appreciate it. 945-9292. Hi, you're next on the radio. Good morning. Hello.
Jared, the first thing I want to say to you is congratulations on your team winning.
Thank you.
I'm a Redskin fan, so my dog hasn't been in the hunt for a long time.
Right.
But watching that game, I want to ask you this question.
Okay.
As an objective guy watching that game, I really felt like the calls really went Pittsburgh's way. I mean, like the call on the where the guy returned that punt for a touchdown, they called the guy like at the 10-yard line for holding.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they called the holding call on the defense when Pittsburgh was trying to score, I've never seen that in a professional football game.
I disagree. I think the calls were bad on both sides. I mean, I do think there were bad calls, but I think they were on both sides. I think that there are a couple of really questionable calls on Pittsburgh as well. And the first one I would consider talking about is the 15-yard offensive touching or whatever it is penalty on Hines Ward when he's the guy that was dragged to the ground by his helmet, right, and then punched by Terrell Suggs or somebody. I mean, that was a glaring 15-yard example. The official that called that game, and if you were following, I appreciate the call, if you were following it all online, the official that was calling that game is known to have the highest penalty count per game in the NFL. He's known to call everything, and if he's not sure about something, he calls it. And if you were watching him, he was having fun calling penalties, whether they were real or they were not. I think there were bad calls that went both ways. I wrote on Twitter that day, you know, let them just play the game. I don't want to see so many penalties. But at the same time, there were a lot of mistakes on both sides and a lot of just penalties, too. So what are you going to do?
I agree, definitely. There was a lot of mistakes. I mean, Baltimore basically shot themselves in the foot a lot of times. I mean, they came out and fumbled the ball three times within that first, you know, 10 minutes of the third quarter.
Right.
But the one call I thought was really kind of questionable was the mysterious hold on the punt return that they scored for a touchdown. That they ended up calling it back.
No. He dragged. I forget who it was, but he dragged him to the ground. Did you see it?
I saw it. He barely.
No. He dragged him to the ground. I mean, you can't do that. You can't take somebody, grab them by their shoulder pads or by their chest, pull them down, like face plant them on the ground. You can't do. I would expect that call on either side. Bad play there. Let me ask Andrew what he thinks. Hi, you're on the radio. Andrew, so what do you think? Penalties, I didn't make that much of them because I think it was pretty equal on both sides of it. There were a million holds on the Ravens that weren't called as well. What do you think? You watched the game, right?
I did watch the game, although I can't say I saw any of the penalties, but what brought it to my attention was I was watching the post-game show, and Shannon Sharp made a comment about that and then made a joke that he was probably going to get fined by Roger Goodell for it.
Funny. I tell you what, I thought you had more there. I thought there was going to be more than just a sentence. I was watching the coverage as well, and they were saying the same thing on Pittsburgh side, that, oh, come on, that was a bad call, or that was questionable, I'm not sure about that. And so I remember hearing the announcers do it three times. I got to be honest with the last caller, though. I had my eyes closed for a little bit of the game, so I can't really say for sure. I watched a lot of replays. But I do. I think there were bad calls on both sides. And if you can lighten up on the officiating a little bit, you're going to have a better game no matter what. And I think that was – I don't know that it really affected the outcome.
I said this earlier in the year, but really at the end of the year, Roger Goodell needs to take all the referees into a room and really be better organized than what they were this year, because they've had a lot of penalties that just are horrible, and the officiating's been absolutely horrendous. And I think something definitely needs to be done, like maybe maybe not call as many penalties or. You know, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure what the answer is, but you're taking away from the game. That's the problem, is that you have players out here that, you know, they're out playing hard, and, you know, every other play there's a penalty going on. It takes away from the game.
The touchdown that he was talking about anyway, that would not have cinched the game for the Ravens anyway. They still would have been down by 3 or 4 points. So.
Yeah, but then, I mean, if you think about it, they would have scored, and then Pittsburgh, you know, of course they scored. I don't think Flacco at the end of the game wouldn't have had to be trying to go for the end zone. He would have just tried to go for a field goal, which would have tied it. I mean, if and buts were.
And you do, and you see you see it in every game. I mean, you see it. There's at least two or three really bad, glaring bad calls you can see in every game. And I'll tell you what, I've been probably the number one spokesperson for against bad calling in the NFL all year round, because I got to tell you, Pittsburgh, we saw our share of terrible calls throughout the entire season. To see one bad call for the Ravens, which, by the way, wasn't a bad call. It was completely a hold. To see one bad call, if you would call it that, I would be a little bit forgiving because, you know, the Steelers are going to owe $150,000 for that game anyway. Hi, you're on the radio. Good morning. Hello.
Hey, good morning, Jared. Hey. Yeah, I wasn't going to turn you in at first because I thought you'd be gloating too much, but I want to thank you for that.
No problem, man. Look, I don't, you know, I'm not, yeah. Not me.
I was just going to say it's you can't really blame it on all the calls. The Ravens just blew it. They just basically blew it. And I don't think it's so much that the Steelers played that much better.
Right.
The turn of the game was Ray Rice fumbling the ball. And then, of course, you know, there's no excuses for those two missed catches between Baldwin and Houston Zada. Of course, Joe Flacco threw the interception, which, you know, you got to expect that.
Yeah.
At least once. Uh-huh. But congratulations and,
Well, listen, yeah, you never know. I mean, I'll tell you what, the first thing I thought of, I appreciate the call, is not, hey, what's going to happen next week, and is it going to be New England, or is it going to be the Jets? What I thought immediately after the game was, oh man, we're gonna have to face the Ravens again. How many times next year? You know that. I mean, there's look, Lightning is not gonna strike 19 times or whatever. I guess this is 7 victories for Ben against the Ravens. It's not going to continue to happen, okay? The Ravens, they're, Flacco's getting better, although this season not as much as last season. But he's got his head in the game a little bit better. Saturday just wasn't his day. And look, as much as the Ravens lost it for themselves, Pittsburgh lost it for themselves in the first half of the game in what I would call Browns caliber football. I mean, it was ugly, and I'm sure you guys were jumping up and down. You Ravens fans out there were shouting and cheering and you were probably laughing. I'm sure you were high-fiving each other. You probably screaming when Ike Taylor headbutted one of your guys. I guess that was who was that? Was that Hushmanzada?
Yeah, I think it was Hushmanzada.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys were flipping out. But we were able to come back and we flipped the coin and the same dumb mistakes that we made in the first half of the game, the Ravens then made in the second half of the game. Fumble after fumble after pick, and at least the Ravens didn't just leave the ball sitting in their field standing around. I tell you what, though, about that call, the fumble, did you see the notorious incomplete pass fumble that everyone was just standing around? Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw parts of that. I had to work Saturday night, so I wasn't able to watch all of it, but I did see part of that, and I couldn't believe it. Everybody just standing around. The ball was just sitting on the ground.
And everybody on the Steelers forums were saying how stupid the Steelers were. You're never going to win a game like that. But in our defense, most of the Ravens were just standing around, too. Everybody. And I'll tell you what I decided. I think John Harbaugh, right? I think he's got a whistle on the sidelines. And I think he's blowing the whistle at certain times. And the ref's like, I never blew a whistle. Because I tell you, Holly and I, we both heard a whistle somewhere. We heard some kind of whistle. And then Ben said it in the press conference, too. I heard a whistle. I don't know. There was somebody out there with a whistle blowing a whistle because we heard it all. I'll tell you, we got to take a break. Andrew, if you want to give me a call back after the news, we'll take a break and we'll talk a little bit about some of the other games. But I want to talk to some of the listeners out there about their reaction to what happened in the weekend. More of your phone calls coming up. This is WGMD Marine Weather, Fox News on the way. It's 9:33.
You're listening to Jared Morris. Call Jared now at 945-9292. Toll free in Maryland, 1-800-518-9292. Or free on the Verizon Wireless Network. #927 on your cell phones.
Start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. When it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you.
All right, welcome to the program. Welcome out of the program, I should say. This is WGMD. Good to be with you guys today. 945-9292. People are saying to me, oh, you're going to gloat. Are you happy and all that? No, I the only thing I'm doing is breathing a sigh of relief today. And I'll tell you what, I'm not. I will not be happy. I will not be gloaty or anything until maybe next Monday. Maybe I can then maybe breathe a sigh of relief. But all I keep thinking of, oh, we got to go do it again. We got to go try again. And Well, there. I want to talk a little bit more about it. And I want to take your calls. There were some other exciting games that happened. I think you could call them exciting, although two of them were pretty much just blowout games, and I saw the entire Green Bay Atlanta game, and I saw or heard all of the Chicago game, and I heard all of the and I saw the last 2 minutes of the New England game. I had to listen on the radio because I was out of town. Where there wasn't a TV, I was driving, and so I had to hear most of it. But yeah, I'll tell you what, football on the radio can be really good too. So it was, I could visualize. It was nice. Speaking of Chicago, I think we got a Bears fan on the line right now. Good morning, you're on the radio. Hello.
Hey, good morning, Jared.
Hey, man.
I was once again forced to radio football for the Steelers game. Sounded like a really, well, maybe not from your point of view, but a very exciting game.
It was exciting. Yeah, I mean, exciting.
At first, that first half had to hurt a little bit.
You know, it was awful. I can't lie. But I'll tell you, every Steelers game except for the game against the Browns every year is almost like that. Every game comes in within, you know, a touchdown or 1 point or 3 points. Every game is close. You know, we got a little spoiled for the last two games where we dominated the two worst teams. But anytime we play a good team, it's always close. And I knew what to expect. And I literally still have a headache from watching the game. That's all.
Yeah, I would advise you do not gloat until after the Super Bowl if you happen to win, which I'm hoping you don't, if you know what I mean.
Well, you're hoping the Browns get it. You're hoping the Bears get it.
Yeah,
me too.
At this time of year, everybody will, you know, the sports shows will fill up their time with statistics of the previous season, you know, this past season and stuff.
Yeah.
At this time in the postseason, statistics mean nothing. I mean, I was concerned about the Seahawks. I would have been very upset if the Bears had lost to the Seahawks, being that the Seahawks had a losing record.
Right.
They were in the crappiest division.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't have been in the Super Bowl, some people said. But they were a dangerous team to have in the playoffs because they had nothing to lose. They had everything to prove,
right,
and nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have been, and they beat the New Orleans Saints, which may say more about the Saints than the Seahawks. I don't know.
Right.
Now. The NFC Championship is going to be epic. It will be the Monsters of the Midway meeting the sorry Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. I'm sorry, at Soldier Field.
It
will only be the second time, Jared, believe it or not, that the Bears and the Packers have met in any kind of postseason.
Is that
the
right?
Last time was 1941, I believe.
No kidding.
Yeah, 1941. I heard that statistic on the radio the other day.
Look, I'll tell you what. For now, for this week and next week, I'm a Bears fan, and I want to see the Bears, not because of what's going to happen in the Super Bowl if the Steelers make it, nothing related to the AFC at all. I just want to see the Bears beat Green Bay. I want to see them do it. I'll tell you what, it's going to be tough. Aaron Rodgers looked like, Joe Montana out there against Atlanta. Aaron Rodgers played so well, guys, that they took him out of the game, and that rarely happens during a playoff game. They took him out of the game 7 minutes into the fourth quarter, and when does that ever happen? Aaron Rodgers, man, I'll tell you what, I don't know if he's the real deal or not, but he sure looked like it on Saturday.
You got to remember the new rules, Jared. I mean, just the risk of him hitting his head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's already had, one or two concussions this season.
Right.
You know, just him going down maybe in a sack situation or maybe, you know, he tries to run the ball or anything, and he hits his head with the new attitude towards concussions. I mean, that could take him out of the playoffs. I think that might be why they chose to pull him in that situation. Again, you can't underestimate or – any team, but I think it's hard to underestimate the Packers. They're a good team. Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback. Will he ever be a great one? That remains to be seen.
Well, let me ask all you guys here. I'm going to ask Andrews online again as well. Don't you feel or do you feel that the Bears are a more complete team than the Green Bay Packers are? The Green Bay Packers have obviously a good quarterback who can pass, but they don't have too much else going on there. The Bears' defense, if they can stop Aaron Rodgers or at least get to him, I think that they've got a really good chance of topping Green Bay.
But you also have to factor in the way the Bears played yesterday was the complete team because you had the defense, you had the offense, and you always have the danger on the special teams. Now, usually the danger on the special teams comes from Devin Hester running balls back. But yesterday, the Bears downed the ball inside the 5-yard line twice.
Right.
They ran down and covered the ball and downed it inside the 5-yard line twice. That's huge. So, yeah, yesterday the Bears were playing, you know, the complete package, as you said. I mean, so that's my opinion.
All right.
And as for next Sunday, we just have to wait and see. This time of year, it's whichever team shows up that day wanting it the most and plays with the most heart and hustle.
And you've got, for once anyway, I think you've got four teams that actually legitimately have a shot at each one winning. I think every team that's playing next weekend has a chance to move on to the Super Bowl.
Now, you know what you just said a couple minutes ago? You said that, you know, about Green Bay being the real deal.
I said Aaron Rodgers.
I honestly, I have to say, If you said early in the year, is Aaron Rodgers the real deal, I would probably say no.
I would have said the same thing. I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan.
But the last 2-3 weeks, he's looked impressive. Last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, he's really looked impressive. And I'm telling you, as a sports fan and as a sports enthusiast, I would have to say Chicago fans and Pittsburgh fans, do not take these teams lightly because they will come in. They will come in there and beat you.
No doubt. I mean, Green Bay is. I would right now, I'm not sure I'd want to be a Bears fan because I would be afraid of Green Bay. Andrew, what's your take on the NFC?
My answer to that question is I think Green Bay is the more complete team because they have the offense, they have the defense. Chicago at times this year, their offense hasn't been that great, and their defense has had to go out and win some games for them. And at, like that previous caller mentioned, you do have Devin Hester, of course, as your X factor on special teams.
Mm-hmm.
That could be solved by just kicking away from them, not kicking.
Look, I hear that argument all the time about teams, and even especially the Steelers. Their defense is making plays, their defense is scoring. Well, that's awesome. That's what a defense is supposed to do. It's just that these teams have strong defenses that you don't see a lot of other teams doing that. You want to have a team that you can rely at least 40% on your defense going out there making points. If you have a defense that can do that, and you have confidence that your defense can do that, then you can be a little bit more careful, I guess you could say, on your offense. To have that defense, and I think the Bears have it, to have that defense, I think that that's more of a that's better for the team than a black eye.
But not only that, but I mean, look what Green Bay's defense has done the last 2 weeks. They went into Philadelphia and shut down Philadelphia, and then they turned around and went into Atlanta, which Atlanta, like I said, Saturday and last week, Atlanta's been lights out at home. And
well, I think we can agree that Philadelphia lost that game for themselves, though.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And same with Atlanta. Atlanta lost that game for themselves. They got in a hole quick. I mean, they jumped out to a 7-0 lead right off the bat and then turned around and gave up 28 points in the second quarter. You can't do that.
I'll tell you what. I want to talk a little bit about what we're going to see next week. I wish that I had followed the Bears more. I've seen the Bears play 3 times this year. Just because of other games that were going on and all that. I've seen the Packers play a great deal more than that. The Packers did not impress me early in the season. I was shocked by what I saw on Saturday night. Yes, Andrew.
I just want to say, Tremont Williams, a quarterback for Green Bay, he had a great game. I don't know if you saw either of his interceptions. The first one, that was a great leaping interception that he had in the end zone for an Atlanta touchdown.
Uh-huh.
And then the play of the game was when he took that interception back for a touchdown to end the first half. That was, you just could just hear the air getting sucked out of the Georgia Dome after that. The crowd went silent after that.
Let me ask you a little bit, since we haven't the one game that we haven't really touched on has been what happened last night. The Jets at New England. New England, I mean, I'll tell you what, not just you, Andrew, but every sportscaster in America was saying New England was the sure bet. You know, they're this team with 14 victories, and they won every game they tried to win, and it was going to be lights out for the Jets. No problems. A couple of us, I called the Jets this weekend, and I think Don did as well. What happened, Andrew? What happened to New England? What happened to Tom Brady? How did they get to Tom Brady like 5 times?
Well, the story of this game here was the Jets controlling the offensive line on both sides of the ball. On defense, they were able to beat the Patriots' offensive line. That's how they were able to get Tom Brady. That's how they were able to force him to a couple of mistakes. One of the interceptions that Brady threw to Bart Scott, he threw it off his back foot because he had pressure on him. I've seen him stand in there against a lot more pressure and deliver strikes. So
right.
I don't know. That was very uncharacteristic of Brady. And then on New England's side, they were not able to get any pressure on Mark Sanchez. They didn't throw any confusing coverages at him that confused him into any mistakes. So Sanchez had no problem finding the matchup that was to his advantage in the secondary of New England. So, and then their secondary as well on the touchdown that Braylon Edwards scored, that was just poor tackling.
Yeah, Braylon
Edwards should not be dragging 2 guys into the end zone with him. That just shouldn't happen.
I mean, I think we saw what happened, but what I mean is, what happened? You know, what was up with New England last night? Did they not show up to play? Did they just get outclassed? What was going through you as a fan? What was going through your head watching that game?
I think they just got outclassed.
Wow.
I mean, they got outclassed, and they tried to do some trick plays, like I think at the end of the first half or late in the third quarter. They tried to run a fake punt with Patrick Chung running the ball, and he took his eyes off the ball and ended up fumbling. That was a turnover on downs. And then late in the third quarter, I think it was it was the end of the first half. Logan Mankins, at the end of a running play, committed just an absolutely stupid personal foul penalty back that he had just no business doing. He threw down Darrell Revis, I think it was, at the end of the play. I mean, it was just a stupid penalty on his part. I don't know what he was thinking at that point. Because that, instead of, you know, the Patriots having a chance to take a shot at the end zone at the end of the first half, they had to kneel the ball down and go into the locker room because not only did that take them out of potential field goal range, it took them out of Hail Mary range.
I know. I watched the game Sunday, and watching that game, it didn't look like New England started to show up till late in the third quarter. I mean, they just looked like they were flat coming right off the bat. They were flat, and they couldn't do anything. Brady was getting hit left and right. The defensive line couldn't get in to hit Sanchez at all. And their secondary was absolutely horrendous. I think they kept giving up, you know, long passes that just killed them in the end.
945-9292. Caller, you're next. Hello.
Hi, Garrett. I'd like to ask you a question besides football. Has all of the cash deal been sold already?
Let me check. As of Saturday, I think we did the last like 9 or 10 on Saturday, and I haven't got word that they've released any. I will let you, but as of right now, we're out. We're done. None left? Okay, none left. I'm getting the signal, none left. Yeah, but I'll tell you, congratulations to all the WGMD SmartCash. Congratulations to all the Jared Morris Show listeners, because let's be honest, like, most of the callers were from my show. So congratulations, you guys. You know, it'll be like a fan club meeting on tomorrow morning. It'll be awesome. 945-9292 is the telephone number. So we talked Green Bay, we talked Pittsburgh, we talked New England, and we talked the Bears. I think what we have left is what's going into the games coming up next weekend. And I do want to extend it a little bit and talk a little bit about that as well, maybe in the next segment, maybe the next 10 minutes or something like that, and just maybe paint a picture of what we've got coming up. Again, I want to advise all fans out there, be it Bears fans or Steelers fans or Jets fans, and let's be honest, Jets fans are the worst and Green Bay fans. Jets fans are the worst out of all the four. Don't gloat right now, because you don't know what's going to happen next week. None of us do. Certainly, some of us have some advantages. Jets fans, you've got an advantage because you've beaten Steelers already. It's in Pittsburgh. That's maybe an advantage for Pittsburgh. I will talk about that coming up. Let me ask you guys, first of all, Andrew, any closing thoughts on what happened over the weekend? Any final say? Not talking about what's happening next weekend, but any thoughts on the games that we saw this weekend?
Cutler had a really impressive performance on Sunday for Chicago. Chicago scored 5 touchdowns in that game, and Jay Cutler accounted for 4 of them. He threw for 274 yards and 2 touchdowns, also ran for 43 yards and 2 touchdowns. And as for the Jets secondary, just to wrap up on that, their secondary did a great job taking away not only basically both the Patriots receivers. I think Welker and Deion Branch combined had maybe half a dozen catches between the two of them. That's their number one and number two receivers, and the Jets took both of them away. That's a credit to the Jets' defense.
Absolutely. Tommy?
I think the big story of the weekend was the two number one teams getting knocked off, especially with Green Bay coming in and blowing out Atlanta the way they did, and then having the Jets come in and beat New England in New England. That was, to me, two big stories. They were Atlanta and New England were pretty much – going into the playoffs were the odds-on favorite to make it to the Super Bowl, and now it's kind of just up in the air. And
I don't have the statistic in front of me, but I heard somebody saying last night that happens all the time, that the number one seed rarely makes it to the Super Bowl. I mean, is that true? Do you know?
Yeah, for the most part. For the most part, they usually get knocked off by, you know, a three or
is it the bye week?
With a bye week in there, it's hit or miss. You're either going to come out like Pittsburgh did, and you know, come out and win a hard, you know, hard win fight, or you're going to end up coming out like New England did and just lay an egg and not be able to do anything.
Do you think that, let me talk to you, Tommy, for a second. We heard Andrew's take on New England. Do you think New England is just too cocky? Do you think that had anything to do with it? And I'm thinking specifically of the two-point conversion that they made late in the game. I understand the reasoning behind it, but you're down like 14 points. Do you try for the extra 2 points? Do you just take the sure extra point and try to score again?
I think that, you know, going in there and doing the 2-point conversion is a smart thing, because, you know,
if you can do it though,
if you can do it. But the thing about it is that I don't have a stat in front of me as far as 2-point conversions, but a lot of times 2-point conversions are rarely made. I mean, you see, I mean, they're like a lot of teams, if you look at their stats, they're like 4 and like 25, you know what I'm saying, or something like that.
Yep.
Where you don't see a lot of fourth down conversions that are not
two point
conversions that are completed. So
you don't see that many fourth down ones either. One stat that I did pay attention to last night was that the Patriots have not made an onside kick, had not recovered the ball since like 1994.
Wow.
But they were forced to try twice.
And twice, they both times they had a chance to get that ball.
And it never works. It's onside kick. I love it, and I wish it worked more often, but it absolutely never works. Andrew, don't you think the Patriots, if they'd recovered one or both of those onside kicks, they could have come back and at least tied up the game and taken it into overtime?
Yeah, that is true. And Shane Graham, the stat I saw before the first onside kick was that he was 1 for 4 in his career in getting onside kicks that were successfully recovered. So, and then I guess 1 for 6 now after last night. But like Ty was saying, those things rarely work. So 1 for 6 is about par for the course from what Tommy was saying.
Well, I'll tell you what. Thank you, Andrew. This is WGMD. I got to take a break. We got news coming up, local news with Kelly Steele, Fox News on the way as well, and more of your phone calls. 2 hours of the program remaining. I do want to touch a little bit on the Championship Sunday, talking about the two games that are coming up and who has the best chance to win. Although, as you know by now, you know, what any commentator says doesn't matter. It just depends on who shows up. WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. All right, welcome back to the program. 1013 WGMD, this is the talk of Delmarva Talk Radio for the rest of us. Good to be with you guys today. 945-9292 is the telephone number, toll-free, 1-800-518-9292, pound 927. That's a free call on the Verizon Wireless Network. Thanks to Atlantic Cellular, your authorized retailer for Verizon Wireless. AccuWeather today, calling for it to be mostly cloudy and cold with a high of 34 tonight. Cloudy, periods of snow, but no accumulation, which is something I like to hear because I think I'm supposed to get my car back today. I know I keep saying that, but I think today I'm getting it back, so I'd like no accumulation possible. Low of 31 tomorrow, breezy and wild. Or does it say mild? Breezy and wild rain, high of 46. Wednesday, breezy mix of clouds and sun with a high of 48. Right now, we're looking at about 34 degrees at our Luis Angola Studios. Feels a little colder out there to me than that, though. Feels really kind of chilly out. No wind or anything, though. In fact, I would call it mostly cloudy. Welcome back to the program, 1014. This is the talk of Delmarva.
High hoping is for fools.
Well, there's a couple of other things I want to get into today. I want to talk to you a little bit about the toilet tipping story. If you've heard the update on that, it's something we had talked about in the past. Before we do that, though, I did tease that we would talk a little bit, tiny bit, about the Championship Sunday, the divisional championships that come up this weekend, this Sunday on network TV about the NFL. And I wanted to just quickly kind of do a preview later on in the week. We'll do what we do every week, and we'll take calls from people and get the picks for Championship Sunday, who you think is going to win and what's going on. I think an interesting note, I was looking up some of the top sportscasters in the business and what they picked over the weekend, who they thought was going to win the games. And for the most part, they were right, except, you know, nobody was calling the Jets to beat the Patriots over the weekend. Nobody was calling that. And not only did the Jets beat the Patriots, they walked all over the Patriots.
Did somebody really pick Seattle in there?
Yeah.
Who is that?
I don't know. Allen? Somebody Allen?
Wow.
I don't know who that is.
I can't believe he's the only... Wow.
He also picked the Ravens. Okay, so let me just ask you this. Jets at Pittsburgh. Ugh. There's a couple of things about this game. I don't really want to talk who's going to win and who's not. Just give a quick preview of what's gonna of what to expect. You've got Mark Sanchez. Do you think Mark Sanchez has proven himself?
That's such a hard thing to really answer because, you know, Mark Sanchez, he just, to me, this whole year, Mark Sanchez, he's been a good quarterback. He's put numbers up, but in the same sense, he's gotten lucky a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't know if, you know, I don't know going into Pittsburgh. You know, if it was Pittsburgh, New England next week, I'd, you know, say, oh, you know, being in New England, you know, it's going to be a really hard fought game, mm-hmm. but New England will probably win, you know, by three. But now the Jets got to go into Pittsburgh and play Pittsburgh. You know, it's hard to say, but in the same sense, Jets, the first week they beat Indianapolis, then they came out, and then they turned around and beat, you know, New England. They're kind of being the giant killers of the playoffs right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you don't know what, you know, if the Jets team that showed up the last 2 weeks shows up, then, you know, they could definitely make a run at it.
That's it, too. It's they have a chance. Yeah, I would agree, but not necessarily, you know, it's definite they're going to win. Sure, they beat the Colts. Sure, they beat the Patriots. And, I mean, they've beaten Pittsburgh before during the regular season. The Patriots beat Pittsburgh before. So, statistically, you'd say, oh, yeah, they're absolutely going to beat the Steelers going into Pittsburgh. It doesn't matter where they are. But you got to understand that Pittsburgh also, going into this entire season, has been an underdog team the entire season as well. I think the story of next weekend will be you've got two quarterbacks who are really trying to, three if you count Cutler, who are really trying to prove that they are the real deal. Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers, and Mark Sanchez of the New York Jets. Is Mark Sanchez ready? Is he the guy? I think he has the potential to be a good quarterback in some years. I don't think he's a great quarterback yet. And like you said, Tommy, I think lucky. Now, that doesn't mean, like you'd mentioned before, you got to make sure that you're not overconfident about this and you think it's a sure victory. I definitely don't think that. Anything can happen. But if the Jets are going to win, they've got to hope two things happen. One, they play like they played last night, and two, the Steelers play like they did in the first half of Saturday's game. That the Steelers make mistakes and the Jets can capitalize on that. Because I see the possibility of the Steelers' defense just overwhelming that young quarterback.
You know, going into late last night after all the games were done and finished and, you know, we knew who was playing who, you know, honestly, looking at the four teams I looked at, and you're probably going to get really mad that I'm saying this, but Pittsburgh, honestly, on paper, compared to the other four teams, look like they should be the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl. I know you probably hate me saying that right now, but it's hard to, you know, Jets are a good team, but in the same sense, they're playing Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh, and
yeah,
it's just that right there, just, you know, they had a great run last year the same way they did this year. They've had a great run, and then they played Indianapolis in the championship game and lost. So, looking at that and then looking at the fact that, you know, then you have Green Bay and Chicago, which, you know, any team in any one of those two teams could win that game. But, you know, are they really as good as Pittsburgh?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that the best-case scenario that could have happened for Pittsburgh did happen over the weekend, with the possible exception of the Seahawks taking it all. You know, I think the best case scenario, I think you want to be at home. I think that you want to play the Jets more than you want to play the Patriots. I think that the Steelers would be more intimidated by Tom Brady than they would be by Mark Sanchez. I think you've got an experienced team that actually kind of likes teaching a lesson to younger quarterbacks. They do like the defensive line, especially likes to do that. I'm not saying that, you know, that's what's going to happen, but they do thrive on that kind of thing. And then going into the Super Bowl, if they were able to do that, I think that you probably didn't want to face Atlanta. I think you probably didn't want to face, like, New Orleans. You know, the Seahawks, well, okay.
Eagles.
The Eagles, you didn't want to face the Eagles, although, man, that would be my dream. That's still my dream Super Bowl, man, to see that. Everyone was saying that this weekend's game with the Ravens was the Super Bowl for, you know, it crowned the real division champion, okay, and that it was the real Super Bowl. So almost what happens after this, it's like icing on the cake. It's like a bonus. It's like we already did what we needed to do, and now, you know, we're playing some teams that you know, it's kind of a question mark. What'll happen? Am I confident that, like, next week, who am I rooting for? I tell you, next week I'm rooting for the Bears just because I'm not a Packers fan, okay? This says Jared the person. I'm rooting for the Bears. I'd rather see them make it to the Super Bowl. Has nothing to do with who's going to go from the AFC, okay? Who would I be more comfortable, the Steelers playing in the Super Bowl, if they were to make it? I really can't answer that. From, you know, after watch, if I had only watched Aaron Rodgers play on Saturday night and never saw any of his games the rest of the season, I'd be terrified of the guy. You know, I would be terrified of a team that could put 48 points up against the number one seed in the entire conference. I'd be terrified of that guy. And, you know, maybe he's changing my mind. Maybe he is, you know, I'll tell you one thing. A quarterback that's afraid to be touched, though, and there are a few of them in the league right now, Aaron Rodgers is one of them. That's not going to work against teams that physically beat up the quarterbacks.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's one of them. Joe Flacco's one of them.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. Sometimes you got to take hits. And Aaron Rodgers and, you know, Mark Sanchez, you know. We'll see.
You got to look at who Aaron Rodgers was trained by. He was trained by Brett Favre, I mean.
Well, there you go. Right. 945-9292, 1022. Hi, you're on the radio. Good morning. Hello.
Hi, Jared.
Hey, how you doing?
We won.
We did.
I'm so happy.
I'm relieved. But, you know, I was relieved yesterday and last night. Today, I'm just nervous about what happens Sunday.
Well, I'm nervous because the Steelers, they don't ever get actually beat by other teams.
Right.
They lose themselves.
Yeah, well, we got beat by the Patriots this year, though.
And, well, a few. But, you know, when it's... And I'm worried. I am a little worried about this Jets game.
Yeah, you should be.
I am a little worried about it. The Jets were never on my radar before. Never really cared about them until Santoni Holmes went over there.
Right.
So now I've been watching them, and they're not a bad team, and I'm a little worried.
Well,
I was happy though to see New England out of it, just because they were New England.
Well, yeah, like I said, I think it's the best case scenario. All the teams that are in the AFC. I mean, we could have gone on if things worked out differently earlier in the postseason. We could have went on to face the Ravens in the AFC Championship, the Colts, New England. I think the Jets are probably the one we'd want to play the most, just because they're a younger team. Yeah, they do have Santonio Holmes. I think those other teams, you know, they're just so much bigger, such bigger reputation. The Jets weren't on your radar because, you know, they weren't on anybody's radar. Last year, Mark Sanchez, you know, he very much green, very much a rookie last year. And, yeah, you should be worried. Who knows what's going to happen? We'll see, though. I think we do have a shot at it.
Well, I am happy, though, about the Delmarva Super Bowl.
The Delmarva Super Bowl?
Yeah. We just won.
Yeah, I was going to take off work if we didn't, by the way.
I probably wore my shirt into the food line afterwards.
How'd that work out for you?
It was sweet. Held my head high.
Did you get any shouts or anything?
I did. I had one of the cashier ladies, the minute I walked in, point at me.
Oh, wow.
But thank God she was a Steelers fan, too.
That happened to me at the gas station yesterday, too. I mean, I got a lot of things, but yesterday I'm leaving, and one of the ladies says, "Yeah, Steelers!" I'm like, all right, that was good, because you could have thrown something hot at me, because they have a grill there.
But, you know, we made our own mistakes, sadly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we always do. We always do.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm nervous. If we are on our top form, I don't think there's any team we can't beat. But the problem is... sometimes we're not, and so that's what I'm going to be praying for.
Yeah, you think it's okay to do that, to pray? I talked to a lot of people that I did.
I
prayed
sent
for
you a prayer on Facebook.
I got it. I did. I rarely pray about that stuff, but I'm like, I try to. If I'm praying for a football game, I pray that people don't get hurt. You know, let it be a good.
And you know, so I think one of the keys next week for the Jets Pittsburgh game,
yeah,
is how good is the Jets' offensive line going to be against Pittsburgh's defensive line? Because this week, Flacco got sacked 5 times. Of course, Ben got sacked 6, but...
That's not unusual.
Better
than 13.
But Joe Flacco got sacked 5 times, and, you know, if they can't... If I watched the New England... I don't know if you watched any of the New England game, but...
Oh, yes.
Watching the New England game, they were not covering for Brady. Brady was getting hit left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And Sanchez on the opposite end... was getting all the time in the world. He was back there eating a sandwich, smoking a cigarette.
It was a hot dog last year.
Waving at the hot girl, at, you know, six rows up in the
thinking
stands.
Of Brett Favre, and he wasn't waving his hands.
So, as long as they can provide coverage for Sanchez this week, next week, like he did this week, you know, they could be in trouble. But, you know, if the offensive line doesn't hold up, you know, it could be another 5 or 6 sacks, you know, again this week for Pittsburgh.
I know that I said I didn't want to do any picks or anything, but I do want to – I have 4 minutes left to talk about it, then I got to move on to toilet tipping. I do want to get your just kind of preliminary thoughts on NFC Championship as well. Okay, let me take a quick call. Hi, you're on the radio. Good morning. Hello. Okay, you're next. Good morning. Hello.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Not a lot. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, not much. A comment and then a question for you.
Yes, sir.
The comment is, the Jets don't scare me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm watching the Jets beat the Colts, and I'm watching Peyton Manning direct his offense during when they had, what, two minutes and change left?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why is he in such a hurry?
Right.
Left way too much time on the clock. He's so good. He ran that offense so efficiently. He was, like, in panic mode. Just slow down.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree on that.
You know, and then I'm looking at the Patriots, you know, against the Jets, and the Patriots did the exact opposite. They were just sitting back, waiting for things to develop. I mean, now, Jets' defense is good. But you got to take it to them. You got to be aggressive yourself, and I just didn't see the Patriots being that aggressive.
See, and I agree with you. The Jets' defense is good, but they're not great. That's the one thing about them. And I appreciate the call. If you want to talk about calculating and taking your time and not panicking, but not, you know, like you guys said, lying back and waving to people in the crowd or whatever. What I was most impressed of all 4 games over the weekend, and yes, I'm biased, but what I was most impressed of in was Steelers were down, 21-7, 2 minutes left in the first half, and that's panic time. That's panic time. And you didn't see Roethlisberger panicking. You saw him marching down the field. In fact, something happened to him at that moment. And we were joking around at the house that they better win this game or, you know, all women take cover because something, he snapped at that moment. He became the closest to Peyton Manning that I've seen him become his entire career. He was focused. He didn't panic. He had this look in his eyes. He knew what he was doing. And he was able to play the defense of the Ravens. And if he and the rest of the team can keep that kind of cool, then good for them. Good for them. Green Bay, Chicago. Tommy, thoughts? Right?
Man.
Right?
It's going to be one of them, another, you know, like a Baltimore-Pittsburgh game. It's going to be a hard-fought battle with the division rivals. You know, they hate each other. Man, I just don't know. I mean, right now, if I had to pick somebody, you know, or if I had to decide who I think would win that game based on what I've seen so far in the playoffs, I'd have to say Green Bay right now. I'd have to say, you know, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, you know, Super Bowl. But, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, then again, they got the Jets who, you know, it's one of those things that, like, if Pittsburgh is playing New England, you know, I'd probably go with New England
sure.
and New England.
Sure.
But now that the Jets are going to Pittsburgh, I just think Pittsburgh's going to be too strong for them. Green Bay, it's Green Bay, it's just, I don't know.
I like to hear you talk about it because you are vocalizing exactly how I feel about it as well, like, you know.
You know, Chicago's a good team. Chicago's a great team. I mean, they look great all year long, but Green Bay, the last 5 weeks, they had to win the last 3 games to make it to the playoffs. They did.
Atlanta looked great all year long, too.
Atlanta looked great all year long, and look what happened.
Yep.
Green Bay had to win the last 3-4 games to make it into the playoffs. They did.
Mm-hmm.
Then they turn around and go into Philadelphia and beat Michael Vick in Philadelphia.
Right.
And then turn around and go into Atlanta and destroy Atlanta the way they did. You know, they're a hot team right now, and I have to say, you know, Aaron Rodgers is getting that protection that he needs. And the Green Bay's defense has really stepped up the last couple weeks. So, you know, if I had to pick somebody right now based on what I've seen so far, you know, Chicago's played 1 game, Green Bay's played 2 games. You know, but Green Bay's looked better overall than Chicago has. I honestly think it's probably more than likely going to be a Green Bay Pittsburgh championship. I hate saying it. God, you're gonna really hate me for this. with Pittsburgh winning their 7th. as much as it kills me to say it, but
I'll tell you one thing though. One thing that helped me out through the weekend, Alan Lehman stopped by to say hello on Saturday, and he told me one thing about the Steelers game that I tried to remember the entire time watching the Ravens Steelers. And I know this. I mean, I know it psychologically. I know it, you know. But he said, Jared, what you do doesn't matter. They don't know. You know, you're not affecting the game. You know, all my superstitions and all that. He's like, you know, it's not going to change the outcome. And so I got to remember that just because I say one thing or I'm overconfident or feel one thing, that that's not going to change the outcome. What happens will happen. But then there's still that part of me that says, well, you know, don't say that. So I don't know. I don't know, man. I would say the same thing. I'm looking at Green Bay for this week. We'll find out what happens later on in the week. We'll see if there's any – I don't think there's any really key injuries coming out of the game. We'll find out. We'll keep you updated throughout the week. We'll talk again on Friday right before the weekend. We'll talk about who we think we're going to – we'll have picks from Don, from Tommy, from Andrew, from myself, and maybe a little bit on Saturday as well like we did I enjoyed that last Saturday. We did a little bit from 11:30 to noon about what to watch. This is WGMD. I got to take a break. It's 10:32. Coming up, I want to talk to you about a story. You've probably heard the story. We've talked about it before. Back in 06, the porta potty toilet tipping story. Well, they have indeed charged somebody with that, with something that happened 4.5 years ago. Right. The interesting thing about this story is how young the person was when he did it, and I want to talk to you about whether or not you think that his age should play a role in his age then should play a role in how he's being charged now. We'll talk about it coming up. 10:32. This is the Talk of Delmarva. Marine weather, Fox News, more of your phone calls on the way. It's great to be with you guys today. This is WGMD, and I'm not kidding. I had some people on call because I wasn't going to face the music if we didn't win. This is the Talk of Delmarva.
Be the reason. There are lots of reasons to call Fetterman Insurance. All of them have to do with price and service. Fetterman Insurance, 422-3079. Nationwide is on your side.